Morning and welcome to Radio Veritas and the Jesuit Institute Hour. My name's Frances Correa and I'll be with you for the next hour along with Pamela Moringa. And this morning we're going to be chatting first of all to Father Anthony Egan. We're going to be talking a little bit about his experiences down in Grahamstown. And then a little bit later in the show, Pamela and I will have a conversation a little bit about my experiences because I've been travelling up to Nairobi. And so we'll talk a bit about what I was doing there and why. But now we want to welcome Father Anthony Egan. Good morning, Anthony. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks, Francis.
So I know
very
you're
good.
Good. I know you've been doing exciting things down in Grahamstown. Can you tell us a little? You went down for the festival. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing there, and then we'll talk a bit about what was also happening at the festival.
Yeah. Well, I went down basically for a few days break because I rather enjoy the Grahamstown Festival. You know, with all the plays and music and art and everything that's on. I was also giving a talk at the cathedral, Grahamstown Cathedral, part of their sort of lecture series. They have a lecture series during the week, and I spoke on the Monday. Mm-hmm. Generally, I was just doing a sort of look around to see what's happening in the art world and theatre world, and some very interesting things.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Do you want to tell us about some of what you noticed in the art and theatre world, some of those interesting things?
Well, certainly in the theatre world, festival is a very interesting combination of, I suppose, traditional, classical, Western-style theatre and contemporary theatre, professional people doing sort of shows, often as premieres before they go on the road, putting their shows on in Cape Town and Durban and other places.
Mm-hmm.
And then other folks, students, drama students, who will do a sort of production. And basically every major drama department, university drama department in the country will have something that's been put on by some of its senior students. And so you get a sense of the young up-and-coming actors as well, those who are basically still, honing their craft, but it's always very exciting just to listen and see what's going on and to get a sense of what different things are being performed, because they give you a sense of the state of the nation, the way people are thinking.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that thing of art providing a lens through which we can see our reality.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was fascinating. Just for example, when we talk about things like visual art, I mean, if you look at some of the painters who were on display, I mean, both, fine art students near the end of their studies and established painters, it struck me as quite interesting to see the older the painter, the more traditional the style and content. So, for example, lots of landscapes or seascapes or things like that. Mm-hmm. But among the younger artists coming up, a lot more abstract, much more political sort of undertone to the work.
Mm-hmm.
Are really reflecting upon the state of the world as they see it and the state of their own experiences. So, mm-hmm. in a sense, very, very interesting comment on what you see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything from, abstract impressionist painting through to all these new developments in what they call performance art, where it's almost like a kind of dramatic performance where the artist actually does the art as you speak, movement, dance, sound, all things move together. It was a very interesting display of some, what I suppose you could call graphic art using computers, so computer-generated imagery. And there was one in particular that was fascinating because it was a cartoon. It was a whole story, but it was all about, essentially, people working in this rather bleak future, and there's a rebellion against this rather oppressive regime and overthrow of this sort of rather corrupt oligarchy. If this was all done almost like a kind of B film, but it was all by cartoon. and very cleverly put together using a mixture of photographs, graphics, computing imagery, all the rest. And that was, I thought, a very interesting example of what's going on among the younger artists at the moment. But then you have the more sort of mainstream stuff. You have the particularly concerts. I mean, you had the, I think it was the Cape Town Symphony Orchestra who had a concert. You had the National Youth Orchestra, which was also very interesting because I actually bumped into them while they were rehearsing in Port Elizabeth before I went to the festival. And they did performances at the festival, which was very impressive, you know, because they come from all over the country. Essentially what happens is they come together for about a week beforehand. They get intensively trained by their conductor, who in fact is the head of music at Kingswood, the school in Grahamstown, plus a kind of core group of professional musicians in different areas, wind instruments, percussion, things like that, who in a sense put these good, very good kids who've all basically got in on a kind of audition. And they're regarded as the best at the moment in the country among young people between 14 and 25. And they have to basically be turned into an orchestra.
Wow.
Literally a week before they go and do their performance.
Wow.
And very impressive stuff. I mean, they had, for example, Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance was one of the pieces they played, which was, you know, very rousing stuff. But then they also had, I think a Rossini piece as well. And it was very impressively put together. And the fact that, you know, these kids are basically rehearsed it all literally a week before and basically taken a group of really talented individuals and melded them together into an orchestra was very impressive.
That's amazing.
I thought that was very, very impressive sort of thing. So there are all those kind of things, and then stage plays as well, some very interesting plays.
Mm-hmm. Which of the plays really remains in your memory, Anthony?
Well, there were a number of them for different reasons. The one play that I really enjoyed was called Out of Bounds, which was basically the life of a young Indian boy growing up in Durban and his whole family. And it's basically two boys, two young men, final year drama students in Cape Town. And they play every single role, literally by, you know, putting on a hat, putting on dark glasses, wrapping a sari around their head, and they move from being the central character to the grandmother to the sort of slightly gangstery uncle through to police that you know, stop the family at the beach when they're sitting on the beach having a picnic on the beach, but they get chased off because of the whole group areas. All those sort of things. And this whole performance is done literally high speed, minimal set, but it's so convincing. It was really amazing. I was absolutely stunned by the way it was so simple yet so cleverly done. You know, you don't need a vast set, an enormous amount of technology to do that. And yet it really, really was excellent theater. Then you had other things which were all about storytelling and art of storytelling. And, you know, there were stories within stories. There's one called Couplet, where these two women were performing as essentially the sort of vaudeville actors, but they tell stories using a combination of puppets and shadows and just simply sheer storytelling. And each of the stories is about some aspect of things like fear or honesty, love versus fear, things like that. Very interesting little sort of moral tales, which in a strange way were interesting because you could watch them on two levels. I mean, I was with a friend of mine and his children, and the kids could see the story on one level. And every now and then I would like look at him and he'd look at me and we'd go, wow, yes. Because there were all kinds of parallel meanings in the story. It's just very cleverly done. And then there were a number of big sort of production numbers. One was called Mamba Republic, which is a kind of two-man show, essentially a political review, political satire.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done. Another one called Payback the Curry. and State Capture, I think it was called the other one. that basically political satire. So it was heavily political in terms of a lot of the tone was about, you know, very critical of what's going on in the country at the moment. Quite militant some of the way in which it was being expressed. So there was a kind of there was an echo of the current confusion in the country and the conflict in the country in a lot of the theatre. And then there were also the more traditional things as well, but often given an interesting spin.
It all sounds like so much fun. Anthony, I'm just thinking about how often I meet people who've never been to the Grahamstown Festival, who don't really, it doesn't really figure in their annual map of things they might be wanting to do. And I just wonder if you want to say just a few words about why it might be important for us as a country to keep supporting the Grahamstown Festival and why it might be important to consider going to it at least once in one's lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I'm glad you said that, because one of the things I noticed this year was there were sizably fewer people at the festival, I suspect, than last year. Certainly my impression going around, there weren't as many people as there were in previous years. And I think partly that's about economics. Mm. The economy is in a bad state. Partly I think it's because there may be a kind of a shift of interest. You know, it's expensive to go to the festival because you have to get to Grahamstown, which means you either drive or you have to fly to PE or East London, and then you drive. So it's not a very good place, in a sense, to have the festival, in a sense, in terms of geography. But there's just something about having it in a small university city like Grahamstown, where literally what happens is the city is turned into one big theatre. All these buildings that they have around Grahamstown, which are suddenly turned into places which become theatres, whether it's school halls, church halls, lecture rooms, the cathedral, St. Patrick's, the Catholic Church, all of those places, remarkable. I think it's important that we keep up this whole festival, because it really does showcase talent. It showcases excellent talent that we have that we don't often see. And I think it really does give us a sense of the sheer complexity and variety of South African culture. So, you know, everything from classical music to African bands through to jazz, different forms of art, different forms of theatre, increasingly theatre in multi-languages, which is quite fascinating. And I think you're going to miss something if you decide it's too much bother and you don't go to the festival. I mean, I'm a convert to the festival. I mean, the first time I went to the festival was about 5 years ago. And up until then, I'd never been to the festival. I heard all about it and thought, I really must go sometime. And then I went, and I thought, damn it, this is so good. You know, I must just take 5 days off on leave and go and just enjoy, because there's so much that you can see and hear. There's so much interaction. There's also lots of intellectually stimulating stuff going on. I mean, they have a whole sort of sub-festival, which essentially is intellectual activity. So, for example, debating things like climate change was one of the big things this year. Looking at political crises, their book launches and things like that, which are quite amazing.
That sounds amazing. I've just had a question come in, Anthony. Someone wants to know, why is the festival in Grahamstown? Do you know the history of how it comes to be in Grahamstown?
Okay, now, I'm not totally sure. What happened essentially was, it started out as a festival, I think, of English. English theatre, English art and drama. I think the brains behind it, if I'm not mistaken, was the late Professor Guy Butler. He was professor of English at Rhodes and felt that, you know, we needed something like a festival of theatre and drama and art that they had, for example, in places like Edinburgh of course, in Scotland, and even places like Chichester. Now, Chichester would have been, you know, it's a cathedral town, but it has a kind of theatre, it used to have a theatre festival, which was often linked into, for example, the medieval mystery plays,
yes.
So those are religious dramas. And I think Buffalo just felt that, you know, it would be a good idea to showcase theatre and drama and stuff like that. And out of that, then, it became more multilingual. And, it, you know, obviously, it was interesting. It started out, I think, very much as a focus on all things English.
Mm.
So, for example, English theatre, English poetry, English literature, and, you know, music and drama as well. But then what happened as well, they said, it's not the only language. So then there was more Afrikaans stuff came in. And so it was basically an English-Afrikaans thing in the from the 70s onwards, 70s, 80s, I think it was. And then, of course, other languages were coming in because, you know, it was saying, hang on, hang on, you can't have this sort of national festival of arts and you know, exclude 80% of the, you know, the speakers, mother tongue speakers in the country. So then we had things of African music and African drama coming in as well. And as I say, I think that's how it grew. But I do think it goes back to people like Guy Butler in the late 70s. If I'm not mistaken, around 78 or thereabouts. Yes. But I wouldn't put my neck out on the exact date. But it came out of that idea. It's quite interesting because if you walk around Grahamstown and you walk out of the main gate of Rhodes University and cross the road, going down the high street towards the cathedral, on your right, on the corner there's a place called High Corner. High Corner is now a hotel guest house, which is obviously a very popular place for people to stay if they're visiting the festival. And that was Butler's original home.
Wow.
That's where Butler lived. So it's quite interesting that, you know, the place was bought by, I think, a hotel, and now apparently a very nice guest house. I've never been in myself. But, you know, in a sense, so Butler's whole, you know, vision is still there. And in a sense, even his home is now, you know, playing a significant part, for example, in housing, let's say some of the more wealthy people who come to the festival, because it is apparently quite pricey.
So I presume the two things that struck me when I was there, the one was that once you've got there, you don't need a car. I mean, you need to get to Grahamstown, but once you're there, you can walk everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's just an experience that for me was extraordinary, coming from Joburg, where I very rarely walk anywhere. The
anywhere,
thing of being
yeah.
able to walk home at 11:30 at night, having watched a play, and being in crowds of other people walking home at 11:30 at night who'd also just watched a play was wonderful. And the other was, this may not have struck you because you don't have small kids, but the one time I did make it to the festival, I went down with small children. And it was amazing because there is a separate festival for children that you can book your kids into from quite small. I mean,
right.
I think Juliet was about three. I think I had a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and a seven-year-old. And they were all booked into the Grahamstown Children's Festival. And you kind of dropped them off in the morning and picked them up in the early evening. And they did the most extraordinary art all day. And they went to children-appropriate. They got taken off to various children's productions, and they made art and they made music, and it was just—it's like the perfect holiday venue for parents with small kids. That's my little punt, because your children have a wonderful time, and you don't have to be with them. You can go and do adult things.
Do adult things, yeah, and that's true. I mean, that is certainly true. I don't know if they still do it, but I know for many years in the 70s, 80s, I think up into the 90s. There was even a further week, which was called the Schools Festival,
yes.
where they'd have, you know, productions on, which were very much geared towards the sort of set work books in English and Afrikaans and other languages of school children. And so they'd have, for example, a Shakespeare, which was geared towards the
Shakespeare they were
set work book, the matric set book, things like that. I think that I don't know if they still do that. I suspect it's not there anymore. But certainly those were the kinds of things that were being done. So, you know, it's something that I think has a real impact on people once they get into it. And, you know, you can go at any pace you like. I mean, I have a friend who's been there a number of times, and the problem is between about 8 o'clock in the morning and midnight, I mean, he doesn't stop. He just goes from one show to the next. I mean, I'm a little more slow and sedate, so I'll catch one or two shows, or maybe three shows in a day. And you know, there's such variety, and it's also very well put together and packaged, so you actually, you know where each show is, what the time is. They give you the time of the show, and they stick to their time. So when you can say that this play lasts an hour and 20 minutes, the next show begins 40 minutes later, this is the venue in this street, and it's a 20-minute walk to get to the next place. So you can book everything in advance. You can do all those things. And as you say, you don't have to drive. It's such a relief.
It is.
I mean, because driving, you know, is something, you know, we do all the time. Just nice to be able to walk around and enjoy things.
Oh, it's an amazing experience. Well, I think that's our punt for the cultural life. And, you know, I often think that we can get, especially here in Joburg, we can get caught up into just the life of work and production all the time. And there's something about nurturing our inner lives, nurturing our creative lives, that immersing oneself in something like the festival is just amazing. And I was also I compared prices just for my own sake, but the South African, the Grahamstown Festival, in comparison to something like the Edinburgh Festival, is actually really cheap. I mean, you know, both in terms of getting there, but then also in terms of being able to go to the shows. The shows are, even if you,
terribly expensive.
It's terribly expensive, but even if you're watching things like we saw the Bolshoi Ballet and got tickets for sort of 60 rand a head, whereas when they came to Joburg, they were 500. So it's kind of,
that's terrific.
You know, you can almost justify paying for the trip by going to some of the more expensive shows that you would never see in Joburg.
It's true.
Well,
true. And it shouldn't stop you from going to good shows in Joburg or Cape Town or wherever you live.
Either.
Because, you know, the whole thing with live theatre and live shows, I mean, if we neglect them, they will disappear.
That is true.
And it'll be so darn difficult to revive sort of live theatre, live music, ballet, stuff like that, once it's been, in a sense, scrapped because of, you know, people just don't
bother.
Come to it.
And it's a completely different experience to watching things that are on television. The engagement of an audience is different.
Yeah. No, it's just something. I mean, if you've never been to a live theatre production, or, you know, even if it's a story you know so well. I mean, I remember about 2-3 years ago, they had that amazing production of Hamlet, which was set on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was basically, the background was the sailors are playing the parts. So you have Gertrude and Beard, I mean, things like that. But it works. And the thing is, in a theatre, when you listen to these voices, when you see them, and you realise it's not a film, it's just so totally different. You engage with it in a wholly different way.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the word I like, engage. There's something very engaging about live theatre, about dance, that just draws you in the moment.
Mm.
Well, Anthony, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning and inspiring us with your stories of the Grahamstown Festival. And hopefully we've inspired some others to think about, because now's the time, of course, to plan next year's visit to the festival. These things take time. But thank you very much for the time and for the insight into this year's festival. And hopefully we'll hear from you about what you do at the festival next year.
Yeah, hopefully, yes.
Excellent. Okay. God bless.
Thank you, Francis.
Thank you. So there we were, talking to Father Anthony Egan, who was down at the Grahamstown Festival. I forgot to ask him in more depth about what he was talking about at the festival, but some of you know that in the past Anthony's also produced a play at the festival. He did a one-man play last year and the year before on the life of Archbishop Romero. So this year he was just giving a paper. that his love of theatre and of all things dramatic really coming across there. We're going to move now to a piece of music, and we'll be listening to Love Goes On by Bernadette Farrell.